Support for WILL comes from the friends of WILL and from Busey. Through expert advice and tailored solutions, Busey helps homebuyers achieve the dream of home ownership. Busey, your dream, our promise.
To Illinois Public Media, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Wednesday morning. It is the 9th day of March. Coming up later this morning at about 11 o'clock Central Time, the United States Department of Agriculture will update the World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates for the month. We'll have all those numbers on our website at willag.org, willag.org, shortly after they're released by the United States Department of Agriculture. My Twitter account is already there. That will be updating within the website. If you have a Twitter account and know how to follow one, I'm at Commodity Week, and those numbers will come out very, very quickly. Now let's take a look at what's happening in the weather forecast in the Urbana-Champaign area for the day. Showers are likely, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm for the afternoon, all before 4 o'clock, a high of 66 degrees with an east-southeast wind today at about 5 to 15 miles an hour. That'll turn to the southwest in the afternoon with winds gusting as high as 23. Chance of precipitation in the area today set at 90%. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm for the evening. A low of 52. Calm winds out of the north. It will rain tonight, says the National Weather Service. And then tomorrow, more showers before the noon hour. Cloudy and a high of 57 with north winds at 8 to 13. And a 70% chance of rainfall. Things will begin to clear out on Thursday night. It'll be partly cloudy. A low of 40. And Friday, sunny skies and a high of 60 as we get to that weekend and we go through Explore ACES. That's when all of the folks that are interested in agriculture come to campus and take a look at what's happening here in the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, that being students and such. Now, let's turn our attention to what's happening in Chicago at the grains markets. Corn futures are down a penny. In the nearby March contract, they're at 357 and three quarters. May down two at 358 and a half. And December down one and a half at $3.79. The March beans are up three and a quarter. They're at $8.80 and three quarters. May at $8.87, two and a half higher. November at $8.97 and a half, up one and a half. And bean meal futures are down 40 cents at $2.70.40. The bean oil at $31.16, 24 cents higher. Wheat futures are a penny and three quarters lower. For the soft red, March at $4.59 and a half. July at $4.70 and a quarter, down one and a half. And hard red at $4.79, down 2 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, 22 and a half higher, or rather lower at $136.87 and a half. The March in the feeders at 159.47 and a half, or up 50 cents. And lean hogs for the day are 85 cents higher for 100 pounds at $70.62 and a half cents. Jerry Goodell now joins us on this Wednesday morning. He's with Rice Dairy out of Chicago to discuss the marketplace and what we can expect from the USDA, possibly at 11 o'clock this morning Central Time. Good morning to you, Jerry. How is the trade in Chicago managing the pre-report jitters today?
Oh, a typical kind of back and forth action here as we kind of wait the next set of numbers from the USDA. It's going to be kind of interesting if we get a lot of changes or not. Traditionally, March is not one of those months where you tend to end up having a lot of changes, partly because of the fact we have these other reports later in the month, which keeps the USDA kind of willing to sit back and wait a little bit. But we'll have to see. We've got some trends here in exports that are not the best in some cases here on the corn, for sure.
Yeah, so would your expectations be for those numbers to be lowered and ending stocks for corn to be raised then?
Well, I think that's the whisper campaign is probably in that 40 to 50 billion category, because since we are so significantly behind on a seasonal basis on actual sales at this point, actually the shipments are not as bad as you'd think they might be. But in general here, the one thing that in the past, at least, because of the stocks report and the facts that we could actually see maybe a little more backloading in this year's feed usage because of numbers and that, in essence, that could go up on after the March report. And so, in essence, you go up on carryover stock and you have to bring it back down because you have a higher number on feed usage. That's been a tradition in this March report in the past. Who knows? At this point, the last 5 to 10 years, we've had a little more aggressive approach from some of the people at the World Board, and we'll see if they actually follow an old tradition or if they make a new one, as they have in previous years. In general here, I think the market is overall, though, is starting to really start to focus a lot more on 2016-17 crops and what could happen there. And I kind of feel that's kind of the reason why we bounced the last few days here. We just didn't have any kind of weather premium in these markets.
Most are thinking that. Is there enough premium built into them at the moment?
No. Not considering the risk that we might have here in both corn and soybeans. I know there's a faction that says, oh, well, South America's just going to have a tremendous crop, and so it makes no difference what kind of crop we start with here in the U.S. or what we have at this point. But I think that's maybe a little naive at this point. A swing factor here from the 168 that the USDA put out on their Ag Forum number there back to 163 or less. That's a significant change in your supplies of corn in the U.S. And corn probably is the most vulnerable considering all the different weather forecasts. You and I think, have been around a long time listening to these guys. I've never heard more different opinions about what kind of weather is going to be for 2016 and what has changed even from where it was last fall and what we're expecting now and what's going to happen. You can throw a dart at everybody's idea of what the weather's going to be. But in general, we got warm temperatures during the wintertime. Didn't we just hear yesterday we had the warmest winter ever? Woo!
Well, one of the top five at this point. And I don't know that it's going to keep, because we've not completed, I don't think they'll say warmest winter ever yet, but maybe on track. So one of the top five. Mm-hmm. So it's a warm one. And then I did see some things that always suggest after a really warm winter, we may very well have a very warm summer. El Nino, of course, is in play. And more importantly, I think it's the change from El Nino to La Nina and how quickly that happens and what it does to that dry period that usually comes after it, whether that shows up in August or July or in September. So we'll be watching all of those things. You mentioned the South American crop. World numbers will be due out at 11 o'clock from USDA as well. Any thoughts that changes we'll see changes there?
Well, I think there's a chance it will slip a little bit more, maybe in South Africa over there. I think that there seems to be enough complaints about what the corn prospects are in South Africa. Maybe another half to a million metric tons there. Right now, on this corn side of things, this going back and forth, there's the opinions that we had too much rain in certain spots in Argentina, and other people say, well, that's just great, and everybody else has got great moisture. And in general, there's a little bit more of a trade feeling that we might see corn and beans go up a little bit in both in Argentina. While we did have some pretty good changes in last month in those estimates, along with a jump in the Brazilian number on corn up to 84 million. I think we had 86.5 last year, if I remember, in all these numbers. And so we're not all that far from last year. I think it's interesting in the fact that really that probably the most interesting crop left in the world in South America is the Safrinha corn, how that finishes up here. We've had some great weather the last 4 or 5 years this time of year going forward, and we've had a streak up there for a while of some dryness in some of the primary areas of Mato Grosso and Goiás and Bialfa. Up until this last weekend, is that a trade going back to better weather? Is that just an aberration that we're going to have more dry weather and we could have some less than optimistic finish to that corn crop, which has been a real major thorn in our side here in the U.S. and our corn exports?
Thanks for joining me this morning. Looking forward to having you on Commodity Week tomorrow afternoon.
Looking forward to talking to you then.
Jerry
good
Goodell.
Good to talk again.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, Jerry. Jerry Goodell, of course, is with Rice Dairy. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report. A couple quick reminders. The Mid-Morning Market Report will be ending tomorrow. That will be the last day for that report, in large part because I'm traveling on Friday up to the Rockford, Illinois area to host the Illinois Soybean Summit. You can register for that one. Bryce Knorr will be there from Farm Futures, and Bryce Anderson, meteorologist from DTN, to kick off that event. Should be a great one. It's free, and it's a really good event. Will last throughout the day. At Giovanni, companies there in Rockford, Illinois. ilsoy.org is the way to get registered for that one. Don't forget that at 11 o'clock this morning, USDA's reports are out. You can check out willag.org, willag.org for all the numbers, or follow me on Twitter at Commodity Week. And while you're at the willag.org website, you'll see that I've also posted the interview that I did with Scott Irwin about the impact of El Nino on corn in the United States, in the Midwest in particular. And there's also a table there of what that impact looked like over, I think, 11 different really strong El Nino years. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9.